Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday. We had our conversation on the Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Oh, and we started out with the sad news of, you know, two young people were arrested for posting on social media and texting that they were going to complete a mass murder. Yes, that they were going to the school and that they were going to shoot up the school. And it's an 18-year-old boy and a 10-year-old boy. Now, I don't know what's going on with this copycat issue. You know, why we would decide that, you know, we want to imitate something so heinous and hateful, but that's what's going on out here now. You know, they're saying that all of these shootings are copycat killings, and, you know, of all things to copy, it's just really, really sad that, you know, these are the things that people want to imitate. And we're not talking about older people. We're talking about our children, 18 and 10. Well, you know, I don't know what their future holds. You know, only God knows. And we really keep them lifted in prayer that, you know, they would understand seriously what it is that they're, you know, saying that they're going to imitate. And we pray that, you know, God would get their mind right, because we surely don't need any more killings, whether it's killing our babies, whether it's killing other people randomly. We really don't need that at all. Okay? And, you know, just keep that lifted up in prayer. Just keep that lifted in prayer, because this is serious. This is real serious. You know, you're going from people who have this unknown hate, this questionable hate, to people who just want to do this because others have done it. And I can't imagine what type of satisfaction you're possibly going to get out of completing that type of murder. I just can't imagine how that's going to make you feel good at all. We also talked about the pilot who we subsequently found out who got terminated because for over 10 minutes they couldn't figure out what he was doing in the cockpit. not only him, but the co-pilot. Now, there's an assumption that the co-pilot is sleeping, but when they tried to call both satellite cell phones, nobody answered. So it's only anyone's guess as to what was really going down in that, you know, cabin. We really, really, really have to pray for them, too, because another set of lives are in people's hands, and it just doesn't seem as though they seem to really care about it. So I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea as to what's going on. Well, a larger topic yesterday was, you know, when you go into some churches now, you know, they have their COVID steps and stages to go back into church. You know, they're taking temperature, you're signing a log, and, you know, soon as service is finished, everybody's kind of going north, east, south, and west. And the question was, you know, how do we minister to strangers or the hurting when we socially distance ourselves? And, you know, what practices are in place? And, each individual spoke of, you know, the practices, you know, that they, you know, go through in the church and how they run the church and, you know, how do we reach out to the individuals who visit for the first time and let them know that, you know, we're concerned about you and we're happy to have you and we want you back. And Pastor Charlotte, you know, talked about, you know, what she does and how everyone is still masked up. And she's still reaching out in the personal way, you know. And Pastor Kale says they have their visitor card. And, you know, they pass out the visitor cards if they don't see them in a couple of more weeks. Because, you know, sometimes people are just visiting and they do have their own home church. And if they're not, you know, seen or heard from again, you know, then there's a reach out. There's a reach. And, you know, Lady Tamika, you know, she's talked about how, you know, her concern, you know, are for the people who come to visit. And, you know, we can't let people go and, you know, let them know, or come, rather, to the church and just don't let them know that we are interested in them being there. And what if they need? What if they need to talk to someone? You know, are we separating ourselves and forgetting that they actually need somebody to talk to? You know, they're not just coming to church just, you know, for the heck of it and they ain't got nothing else to do, but they really need the connection. They need the connection to God's people. So that conversation was really, really good yesterday. And so happy to, you know, be able to talk about that because we don't know who's listening. And, you know, maybe if you do, you know, if you are in charge of a church or if you're active in church and you don't have a decent, you know, plan in place, we pray that, you know, you will welcome God's people accordingly. Yes, because people don't need to come to church and you know, people ignore them. I have to tell you, as a pastor, a lot of people have that complaint about going to churches and just feeling so alone, even in the church. You know, a lot of times when you go to churches, people don't speak to you unless they already know you. And I mean just a decent hello. They're saying that they really don't get. So, you know, we really got some work to do, God's people. You know, are you that type of person who is, you know, hands off and you don't even make the visitor feel wanted or noticed? Well, I hope not. Because they are definitely feeling it. Oh, yes. I got to tell you, they are definitely feeling that distancing. And we don't want people to feel like that, okay? All right. So, today is a Wild Wednesday. And you know how it goes down over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph on a Wednesday. Some people have a difficult time getting through this day, you know, kind of coming from the beginning of the week, going into the second half of the week. But we don't have that problem here. Absolutely not, because there's too much going on here. Oh, we got our girl Vivian with her socially conscious segment. And we have our ladies, you know, and they're going to be talking about, I don't know. Because, you know, last week we had a topic and we never got to it. And we have our Pastor Sean topping off our day with the Faith Over Fear segment. So, you know, in these little 2 hours, we sure have a whole lot going on. We ain't got no time to be worrying about how we going to get from one point of the week to the next. We too busy having a party over here. Yeah. So, make sure you go and you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell someone that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure that you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
Osteoporosis is the most common bone disease, afflicting an estimated 10 million Americans over the age of 50, with an additional 34 million at risk.
Osteoporosis is the process of bone thinning. In fact, the term actually means porous bones. And really, all adults are at risk for this bone thinning.
In fact, one out of every two women and up to one in four men over the age of 50 will have an osteoporosis-related fracture during their lifetime. A woman's lifetime risk of a hip fracture equals her combined risk of breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer.
There are some things we can do to help protect ourselves and at least slow the rate of bone loss over time.
The National Osteoporosis Foundation recommends bone density testing for all women age 65 and older and men age 70 and older. For more information on osteoporosis, please visit the National Osteoporosis Foundation website at www.nof.org or speak with your healthcare provider.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, hey, how you doing over there this day? It is Wednesday, and God has been so gracious to us that he has ushered us into the middle of the week without any hurt, harm, or danger. Yeah, there's a lot to be grateful for. We ain't got no time to be stressed out over little things. No, because God has been so merciful to us. You know, we could have real problems. We could have real issues. And we don't. We don't. We're just here hanging out together this morning and just thanking God for having one another in our life. And we're ready to hear from my girl Vivian, see what she's got to talk about this morning. So let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
Good morning. I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you?
fine, thank you.
That's the way you say it. Well, what you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at these COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still holding that number one spot with 105,299 cases. That is an increase of over 2,000 cases since last week's report. Florida is number two with 69,191 cases. That is an increase of over 8,000 cases since last week. New Jersey is number three with 32,639 cases. That is a decrease of over 1,000 cases since last week. Puerto Rico is back in the top five at number four with 300,030 cases. That is a decrease of over 1,000 cases since last week, since 2 weeks ago. And North Carolina is number five with 27,144 cases. That is an increase of over 18,000 cases since North Carolina was in our top five back in March of this year. So as we can see, numbers are still holding pretty high this week. We have some increases, some decreases, but, you know, pretty predictable this week. Now in some local news, shots ring out across New York City over Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of the summer. For some reason, we know as the weather warms, crime rates and violence rises. And of course, Memorial Day weekend this year was no exception. Reports say that more than 10 people were either shot or stabbed this weekend. On Saturday, a man was shot in Queens. Over in Brooklyn, two officers were injured, and a man was shot during a traffic stop. A man was shot to death, was stabbed to death, and another was injured during an incident late Saturday night in Manhattan. In Chicago, 47 people were shot between Friday and Monday. Nine of them died. And I just saw these and tons more stories like this about the crazy violent weekend that people were having throughout this Memorial Day. And in some good news, authorities said 70 missing children ranging in ages from 10 to 17 were recently found after a three-week-long operation based in Texas. The operation was called Operation Lost Souls. They're saying local police departments, school districts, and public safety offices were among the agencies listed as part of the operation. Many of the kids who were recovered included victims of sex trafficking, physical and sexual abuse. Most of them were found in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And although no arrests have been made public as of yet, authorities say that this operation has uncovered additional information and leads that is being used in current investigations in hopes of recovering more individuals and more children like these. So that is wonderful news to hear. Speaking of our children being victims of sex crimes, we have a Bronx daycare worker who has been arrested Monday on child pornography allegations. Reports say 32-year-old Silfredo Martinez has been charged with promoting a sexual performance by a child and possessing a sexual performance by a child. Authorities say there may be more victims because Martinez worked at Lena's Garden Daycare in the Bronx from July 2011 to around May 2022. So I don't know how this man was able to hide his ways for 11 years, but there is an investigation currently being held to find out if there were other victims. They're not saying how, when, or why he was discovered. They do say that his address that has been listed is the same location as the daycare facility. So maybe it was a family affair. I don't know how this was able to go on for 11 years. Again, there's no information as to how or why he was caught. If someone found something and called the police, they're not saying as of yet. But, you know, they're looking to find out if there's any more victims from the daycare or just otherwise. But we're just thanking God that he was caught. And now for our wild story of the week, we have a few updates on the Texas school shooting that happened last week. So there is an investigation going on with information that the gunman used a door that was propped open by one of the teachers of the school. So, of course, the teacher has not been named as of yet. They are saying that she was using a side door to transport food from her car to the classroom when she propped open the door with a rock. They say that when Ramos, that's the young man who shot up the school, when he crashed his truck near the school, the teacher went in to get her cell phone, running back out to call police. When she heard that the man who crashed his truck had a gun, she ran back inside, kicking the rock that was used to prop open the door and closing the door. But unfortunately, the door did not lock, and he used that door to get into the building. So that would explain why he was able to just walk in and start shooting, because he did not walk in through the front door, but through the side door. And remember, he had a quick shootout with two officers before entering the building. So they did hear the shots ring off, and she tried to close the door. But again, unfortunately, it did not lock. I also learned, that he worked at a Wendy's. He used that job to save up and to buy the armor and the guns, which he used to shoot up the school. He also told his coworkers of his plans, that he was saving up to buy guns, and no one said anything. He also told his plans to a 15-year-old German girl that he met 2 weeks before the shooting on a social networking site called Yubo. The girl said she probably could have changed the outcome, but she just never thought that he would do this. He told her he was going to do something to his grandmother before shooting her. Reports say he had recently had an argument with his grandmother over failing to graduate high school, so that could have been his motive as to why he shot the grandmother in the head / the face. She did survive the shooting. She is in a hospital, and they're saying that she is in stable condition. So, you know, as soon as she's awake, we'll be able to get more information on him and everything that happened before this. He apparently told the girl, quote, "I'm going to go shoot up an elementary school right now," right before he left to go do so. And she didn't say anything to authorities, and he was able to, you know, act out this plan. And we know from Pastor Stephanie that, you know, there's more information coming out, that people were saying that he was, you know, weird and disrespectful and scruffy and things like that. And there were just so many signs, and he was posting things on Facebook, and nobody said anything, nobody did anything. And now 21 lives were lost. So that's our update for the Texas shooting, as well as our wild story for the week. But this has been Vivian with It's Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. Thank you. I need some information on this Bronx daycare worker story. I kind of got a little sidetracked. So can you please kind of go over that story again for me?
Yes, let me go back. So a Bronx State care worker was arrested on Monday for child pornography allegations. Reports say that 32-year-old Silfredo Martinez was charged with promoting a sexual performance by a child and possessing a sexual performance by a child. Authorities say that there could be more victims because he worked at the day from July of 2011 to May 2022. So 11 years he was able to work at this daycare. They're saying that the address for him that is listed is also the same location as the daycare facility. So they didn't say that he owned it. So maybe someone in his family owned it and he worked there for the past 11 years. So they're afraid that there may be more victims of his sexual crimes because he was there for so long. They're not saying how, when, or why this was all figured out, like someone saw something and they reported it to the police. But there is an investigation going on to find out if there are more victims. Yes, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Now, he was a sexual predator. He was on the list of sexual predators from before?
No.
Oh, okay. Because you would think that if somebody had to go visit his home or something, they'd find out that it was a daycare center, you know?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Wow. All righty. And the number for Puerto Rico for the COVID numbers, what's that number again, Vince, please?
330,000 cases.
330,000 cases. Wow. Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It's 30,030 cases. I'm sorry.
That's 30,030 cases. And I'm like, why are they number one? But I didn't want to ask you that publicly. Okay. I vote 30,000. And I'm like, okay, that would make sense. All right. Thank you for clarifying that for us. I have to tell you, Vivian. So we just jumped up and we came down to Florida. And, you know, we talked last week about, you know, the basketball, you know, the Golden State Warriors being in the playoffs and, you know, they nobody in the stadium had on masks. And that's why we could easily see why the numbers in California were so high. Well, I have to tell you, we are the only individual that we have seen down in Florida who's wearing a mask. When I tell you nobody, I mean nobody. And again, you know, another reason why, because remember Miami Heat, the basketball team, you know, they were in the playoffs as well. And nobody, Vivian, it's almost like this thing doesn't even exist anymore.
Wow.
But when I tell you nobody, you know, we got in the line without thinking for one of the restaurants. I won't mention the restaurant name. But, you know, we got on, and the line was, like, super long. And I was the only person standing in this line. Only person standing in line. And I was like, I know they must know I'm from out of town because I'm the only one that ain't got no mask, who got a mask on. And when we looked around, like, okay, we don't want to eat here. It's a very popular restaurant, and it's a buffet. And we were like, nah, we'll pass. You know, it's Vivian, the cavalier attitude over this mask wearing. I can only tell you that California's numbers are going to stay high because
they are definitely in the finals, which start tomorrow. I don't know who won between Boston and Miami Heat. So I don't know if it does. It didn't look like Miami was going to the finals. But I tell you one thing, if they did, I can guarantee you that these two states are going to stay number one. Because when I tell you, nobody, Vivian, nobody, no matter where we went, nobody. So these numbers are going to stay up. They're going to stay, they're going to stay up. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for our socially conscious news. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we got our socially conscious news, and we have a skeletal ladies crew today, as our elder Nitisha is really ill, and our pastor Kim has another situation going on here. A good thing, but a situation nonetheless. So we're going to start with our girl, Lady Tamika, this morning. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. I am wide awake and ready. Where are my girls at?
Well, thank you. Thank you, because we definitely need you wide awake and ready this morning. Definitely. So what are we talking about this morning?
I'm looking at these COVID numbers. They are, like, astronomical. And, you know, in a time when you keep hearing people say that it doesn't exist, COVID is gone, you know, blah, 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 the numbers are still rising. And, you know, it's very true that, people don't wear masks. You know, you go to certain places, you know, not too long ago, I went to Georgia, and, like, in a crowd, you only see, like, two people wearing a mask. You know, and usually, like you said, me and somebody else is wearing a mask. You know, people just don't see the severity, you know, and I guess because people are getting it and not dying from it, that's causing them to just say, I don't need a mask, you know, but you just don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can't predict, you know, God forbid, if we contract this virus, what will happen? We really don't know. And they're going to, you know, and it's funny because, again, you know, we're in this very popular restaurant, and it's like they're not even taking precautions in the restaurant. They're not, covering up the food. They're not serving people, you know, in this restaurant. I'm like, Chantis and I were talking about it, and we were like, what? It was like nothing. It was like pre-COVID days. So you're talking about not only the people, but even the restaurant, you know, owners, you know, in this particular case, they're not even taking precautions, you know, like they should to help, you know, keep the numbers down. Now I got a question for you. You're a basketball person. Who won, the Celtics or the Heat?
I'm sorry, I'm not a basketball person. I'm the football
person.
Oh, you're
football? Oh, goodness. You're just for football? I thought you were basketball, too. Listen, 347-285-7777. Come on, Serge. I know if you're listening, you know. Who won? Because I'm dying to know who's going to have the next highest number under California. Is Florida going to stay high because Miami's in the finals? Or will Boston, Massachusetts, now get that increase because of the Celtics winning? Now, they were saying that the Celtics, they had a sold-out arena for like 10 games straight. And I didn't see no mask over in Boston either, Lady Kaliga. So it's like these people are really, they are really very callous when it comes to, you know, covering up. Really, really, very, very laid back. And if you're talking about, again, you know, if they're in the finals, oh, you know it's going to be a sold-out arena. If they were sold out for all those games prior to the finals, oh, they're definitely going to be sold out now. So I anticipate that Florida will definitely be replaced by Boston, Massachusetts, because they're not going to put any masks on and look at to go see these games and stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, I guess maybe, Tamika, because their people are not dying at the rate that they, you know, were at one point. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea why
I got to hand it to New York. You know, and I've been, you know, I've traveled a couple of times, you know, even as close as Jersey, you know, and New York, when it comes to the mask, and I'm not saying that everybody does, but you do see more people in New York that will wear a mask, especially on the subway. You know, people are still heeding to it. You know, you're on the bus, you're on the train, you're going to have, you know, your geniuses that choose not to, and then they want to eat a sandwich over your head. You know, but you do have those that will. Yeah, I mean, it can get really crazy, and you try your best not to say anything. But you know, everybody's thinking it, even if you don't say it. Like, could you really, like, right now, decide that you, the time that you decide to open up a bag of peanuts and one peanut, you know, happens to fall. Oh, you know, I'm traumatized as it is, just, you know, living my life in New York, and now with COVID, you know, it's just. You know, God keeps us because we travel, you know, we're moving in and out, and, you know, you've got to thank God for danger, you know, keeping you from safe, danger seen and unseen, because we go for it every day, especially living here. You know, this is a petri dish for all kinds of germs and all kinds of other things. I'm sure Sean Chiefs can identify with me on that part.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right. You know, as you move around in New York, you don't see very many people without masks. It's just a different world to us for some reason. And, you know, we're just being a little more precautious. And I guess that's why we look like such the oddballs when we're traveling, because we still have on our masks. And, you know, I'm just glad because, you know, even in the schools, you see the children, you know, still, a lot of children still have masks on. And I'm just really happy because it's just really too dangerous to just drop that practice right now. I don't know. But we'll be back to chat. Thank you for joining us today. Let's say good morning to our girl, Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good, that's good. What are we talking about other than our wow story this morning?
How about the Bronx pedophile?
Oh, all right. What's on your mind?
I think it's really, really scary. To know that someone's been working there for almost 12 years and this is what they've been doing. And it really does now, you know, as a parent or, you know, anyone, any adult, as represented by any child who was attending there over these past few years, it's like, what has been going on? You know, what has he done to these kids? What has he said to these kids? Did the other staff know anything? And it just turned a blind eye. Like, how is it that nothing was seen at all internally? You know, because if you go pick up your child, a lot of times you go pick up your kid and, you know, there's no lingering time. There's no sitting around or watching, you know. But for those who, you know, worked there, spent time there, like, there was nothing that indicated that he was this type of person. You know, what kind of trauma did these kids go through that now they possibly have to backtrack and go talk to these kids to see if Mr. So-and-so ever said or did anything. You know, and then you have to worry about if God did, did happen, you know, do they feel like they're going to, are they, or do they just not want to be bothered with it because they, you know, try to forget about it themselves? It's just sick. You know, I was thinking as you were talking, you know, remember now, here's the first problem. His home address, if I could, if I make sure I got this from business properly, his home address was the address of the daycare. So now you're talking. Ain't no way in the world the people who are also living with him don't know that he's this pedophile. And that means that you are also responsible for these children's safety or lack thereof,
right,
if you will. You know, and that's the scary part. How in the world do you, as, you know, a owner of a daycare, keep these children in this type of danger? So you know what comes to my mind? Was it a joint effort? You know, is he the only pedophile on site?
Right, because like you said, if his address, I mean, I don't know about sending my child to a home daycare and there's a man living there. You know, I just found out from another child, they used to go to a daycare center, and the woman who was running it, you know, she had older kids, and I was like, oh, older kids. I ain't even bothered to ask what sex they were. You know, was it an older son, an older daughter? It ain't even matter to me. Just hearing she had older kids already had my antennas up, because you don't know, you know, what they could be doing. And a lot of times, these women who do that, they rely on their older children to now help them with the kids. But did the parents sit down with you and your kids when they chose to send their child there, or did they just sit down with you thinking that they would just be with you, that they would only be dealing with you? So even if, let's just say, the person who was running the daycare did not, you know, think that could go on, that's still negligent on your part. That even if I woke up today and said, okay, I want to have a daycare center, but yet my brother or my husband or my older cousin or my nephew, whomever lived here, no, that, because, you know, you live here, so I don't know if you feel comfortable bringing your friends here, and the kid's supposed to be picked up at 6, but the parent is late, so now you bring your friends here. It's just too much for me to have to explain now to a parent. It is too much carelessness going on.
It is. There's a lot. You know, when you decide to have a daycare in your home, you know, that's a beautiful ability, because now, you know, you income that you, you know, this income potential, you know, that's a wonderful opportunity for you, especially if you're a parent, I'm sorry, or a woman who, you know, really love children and you're good with taking care of kids and blah, blah, blah. But you, like you said, you got to be on the top of your game, because now, you know, you okay, so you don't hire outside because you have these inside, you know, people that you can hire and use to help run your daycare.
Right.
And now, what do you have? What do you have? What are you? You know, now you, like you said, you have this potential danger lurking around your house, you know, in these children who, or these older people in your home who you're looking to kind of have your back with these children, but now are, you know, pedophiles, and, you know, they're not trustworthy with the kids.
Right.
So you don't want to have to answer. You have got to answer for this behavior. So that's why I'm saying to myself, you got 12 years. This person's address is the same as the daycare center, and you running the daycare, you don't know this person is a pedophile. I don't believe that for 12 years. I do not believe that. I don't.
Right. There's something, you either saw him hanging around the kids a little too long, or you didn't caught him talking to the kids or looking at the kids or something. Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to pass this conversation over to our lady Tamika. You know, what's your thoughts, you know, when it comes to you got somebody 12 years, this person has been working at your daycare center who shares the address as your daycare center, and you don't know that this person is a pedophile?
No, I'm sorry. You know, there's something that, you know, either, you know, you look a little too long at somebody's child, or you're a little bit extra when it comes to, you know, a few. There's some sign. You know, a lot of times we're too busy doing things that, you know, we're not always looking at the signs. And you know, even when you watch certain things, like certain movies, they allude to it. You automatically see it in the person because you're paying attention, you know, and that's the thing, especially when you're employing somebody to work in your home. There has to be, just like any other facility, you have to have extensive research, you know. And I mean, now with the way that the internet is now, you can find information. If you're really looking for it, you can find it. And you have to, especially if you've got a man, we're talking about a man in that type of setting, you have to pay attention to what's being done. You know, how are they, you know, is he always volunteering to take, you know, children to the bathroom, you know, or, you know, is there a lingering glance, you know, a hand extra on the child's shoulder or any other part of the body? You know, it's very important, you know, because our children are, you know, our future, not trying to sing the song itself, but they are, you know, and you've got to look out for your future.
Absolutely. You know, Shantice, I also thought about the fact that, okay, so you've got this male in the home for 12 years, and this same address, this has got to be either your husband, your
mm-hmm.
boyfriend, your brother, your
mm-hmm.
uncle, your cousin. This is somebody
mm-hmm.
that this ain't somebody who's just living there. You somebody
mm-hmm.
who's living there. Absolutely not. This is somebody
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, has the best interest in your life. That
mm-hmm.
you stepped down for 12 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I watched a movie. It was based on a true story. It took place years ago, but it was something like this. And it was a family who was running a daycare, and come to find out, the whole family was in on it. The whole family was in on it. They initially thought it was the son, I think. I think they initially thought it was the son, and then come to find out, the grandmother, the mother, the daughter, they were all in on it. And they were trying to prove their innocence, going back and forth to trial and all of that. And Well, the worst part about it was they had to go back. Not just talk to the kids who were currently going to the daycare, but they had to go back and talk to kids who now aged out of going to that daycare center and now ask them questions about when they did go. And the stuff that they said matched what the kids who were currently going there were saying. And I'm like, now this is the worst part, because not only did they go through this, but now they have to revisit this. It wasn't dealt with when it happened. So now out of nowhere, you're coming to me, asking me all of this. Is that enough? You know, you have to heal. In order to heal, it has to be addressed. But there was no warming up to it, no nothing, because now they have to, you know, the authorities have to be quick and effective with their investigation. So now it's just like, bam, we're kicking in your door. Okay, remember when you used to go to Mrs. Such and Such Daycare Center? Did Mr. So-and-so ever do this? Did he ever show you? And the stuff they were saying, we're just like, oh, my goodness. Like, that was the worst part.
Yeah, I can only imagine, because, you know, if you remember, we had a story where it was the mother, the father was flagged, and they found out that it was the mother and the daughter. And this daughter was like 37 years old. It wasn't even like a teenage daughter. It was just an older daughter. And, you know, that had been, you know, in on this entire problem. And, you know, again, you're talking,
this is something that you have to go back. Because, listen, mm-hmm. he's been living there for 12 years. Daycare center been going on, let's say, for 10 years. Now, ain't nowhere in the world is this going to be no one child.
But right.
There's no logic to that. There's no logic to that at all. And that's the scary part, like you said,
mm-hmm.
because you have to be realistic and understand and believe that, you know what, we're going to have to go back. You know, so, yeah, they're in on it. The family's in on it. And once you found out that they had the same address, he had the same address, and they, oh, yeah, everybody
mm-hmm.
knows. Everybody knows. Everybody know, and everybody's a part of it. And, you know, I, like Vivian said, she doesn't know. They don't say how he was caught, how this whole thing was flagged. But you do know that this didn't go on and nobody knew about it. So that's the saddest part. You know, it's really something that we've got to pay attention to. And, you know, you got to ask these extra questions when you're putting your children in these daycare centers. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
so glad I don't have to. Because, it's just too much. It's just too much. It's too much. You know, let's talk about this, you know, this residual information that's coming out about, you know, this whole Uvalde shooting. And, you know, you have this teacher who was carting her things back and forth into the classroom and propped the door open, you know, and now to find out that, you know, he made his way through this door, possibly, you know,
mm-hmm.
something that you have to, this is something that you're going to live with for a long time. Tamika, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, this is a normal practice. This is what we do all the time. This is not abnormal. This is something we do all the time. I got to take stuff back and forth. I'm going to pop the door open, and I'm going to take my, you know, my stuff back and forth. And now I wouldn't have ever thought that this was the day that, you know, somebody was going to make entrance into the school.
Yeah, this is going to be my new phrase because, I mean, it seems like day after day after day, it keeps happening, you know, whereas we're falling asleep at the wheel. You know, we're not doing what we were called to do, you know. Because of my relationship with Brother Al, you know, I've been enlightened, you know, about a lot of things that transpire with schools. And, you know, he has... when we're talking on the phone and he's at work, there is an alarm on one of those doors where he works, because anytime that door is open, everybody should be on high alert, you know, which means that you shouldn't be able to pop that door open. And 9 times out of 10, you know, she probably didn't think, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go such and such. But it's your responsibility to go in through the front door to handle the protocols that you wanted to, but because you felt that, okay, it's a shortcut. Now, lives are now at jeopardy. We cannot fall asleep at the wheel. We've got to be on our guard. We have to be on point. We have to do things the right way, because the one time that we do it the wrong way, and I'm not saying that it happens every time, but the one time that we're caught sleeping on the job, other lives are at jeopardy.
Absolutely. And that's the sad part, because, you know, again, you didn't think, you would have never thought that this, you know, that this would happen. You know, you figure you're only popping this door open for a couple of minutes, I'm going to be in and out, you know, before I know it, it'll be over, I'll be in. And now you have, you know, this happen, and this is, I hate to term it like this, but it's your fault, you know, that if that's happened. You know, and he made his way through that entrance or entryway. And, you know, I don't know what comes through your mind, Shanti.
It's really sad, because on a normal day, no, you're not going to think, let me hurry up and close the door in case somebody comes shooting. Or let me hurry up and close the door in case somebody comes throwing knives or
you know, let me hurry up and close the door before someone come and try to rob me. Unfortunately, because of the world we live in now, we have to take those extra precautions. And, you know, I know it was in the heat of the moment, so even with you being able to, you know, quickly kick the rock out the way and close the door, you know, not making sure the door was locked, you know, it was kind of like, you know, but again, in that heat of the moment, you're probably just assuming, you know, we're staying in a place right now where we see that we can come in through the back way. And I noticed that if you don't pull that door closed, it doesn't fully close, which means it doesn't lock. So it defeats the purpose of having to use your room key in order to come in through the back door if the person who's coming in through the back door doesn't make sure that they fully, you know, pull the door. And unfortunately, because of the world we live in, that's the first thing that came to mind for me, you know, when I was coming in, I was like, oh, no, let me pull this and make sure. I'm going to just have to put some rubbing alcohol on my hands later because I know everybody will touch this door now. But I'm going to just have to pull this door closed because you don't know who could be sitting there watching you, you know, and now they're just waiting for you to open that door, and now they try to run to the door behind you before it closes. It's just too much going on. So unfortunately, you know, I think it is crazy to be like, oh, she's stupid, you know, but unfortunately it is due to you, you know, doing whatever or not doing whatever, that he was able to get access into this building through the door that you were using. So when Vivian was saying it, I was just like, oh my gosh, I know she is sick to her stomach because there could be so many shoulda, coulda, woulda that's going through her head, because it's like, well, if I wasn't using that door, then he wouldn't have had a chance to get in, or had I made sure the door was closed, he wouldn't have had a chance to get in. So I just feel really sorry for her.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. Like you said, you know, we think about, you know, when we have time to think, you know, and that's what came to my mind. You know, when we have time to think, you know, we think about, oh, you know what, let me pull this door. But when you're in a panic, or when you're moving quickly, or when your mind is racing, going through 15 million other thoughts, that's not coming to your head. You know, oh, let me go back and, oh, my goodness, the door's not locked. No, you know, you're pulling the door, and you're running. You know, there was, you know, Vivian said she ran to get a phone to call 911, and all she's thinking is the door is closed. But closed, unfortunately, isn't good enough. So if this is how it went down, if this is how he got access to, you know, to get inside the school, yeah, this is going to be on your mind forever. You know how, you know, you could have, again, like you said, you should have, could have, would have, you know, had I just done such and such a thing. Because I'm sure that there was some conversation about this before. Please use the front door. You know, please make sure you have your key. Please, you know, all these things.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
It's not the first time that this is, you know, this has happened, you know, with mm-hmm. People access getting into school. And why do you think the door is locked? The door is locked so that no one gets access. So we're not supposed to be mm-hmm. using these doors and things like that, you know, to get these shortcuts. And, you know, unfortunately, there are just things in life that we do that, you know, it's a shortcut now, but it ain't a shortcut, you know, when you think about it on the long term. I really want to talk about this. I was told, but I didn't think he would do it. What is wrong with me? I don't understand this thing. You know, I was told. Now, you talk about somebody who's carrying around some level of guilt. How in the world? Yes. So he told me he was going to kill. He was going to the school, but I didn't think nothing of it, so I didn't say it. He said he was going to. He was saving up his money to buy guns. When you just heard this back to back shootings and killings, and this stuff is all over the news. How do you get this information and you say nothing to me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Are you talking to the mute button? Lady Tamika? Did we lose you? Okay, Shanti.
No, for some reason, I don't know. My phone went silent. I'm here.
Okay, good.
I'm not understanding, you know, because the day and time that we live in now, we can't take such and such for granted. Oh, he's just playing around. Oh, you know, she didn't mean that, you know. At this point now, we have to be on our guard. When somebody says something to you like, oh, I'm saving up my money to buy, you know, a host of weapons, you really have to, you know, oh, well, he didn't mean it. Yes, he did. You know, as we can see, he did, you know, and you know, the text message or whatever it was that says, oh, I'm just about to go up the street and, you know, take care of the school and just start shooting up school. The fact that you belittled that, you didn't even think to call somebody of an authority, you know, and I'm sure that wasn't the first time that he said it. 9 times out of 10, he said it to her when he was building his arsenal, you know, getting his finances for the gun, you know, and to just, we're at a point now where you can't just say, oh, well, they didn't mean it, because as we can see, lives are in jeopardy by the fact that you didn't make a move, because, you know, here we go again. You know, you're sitting on the sidelines, you know, taking pictures while he's at the top of the cliff getting ready to jump. You know, there are times where you really have to move and not take it for granted, you know, because as we can see, lives are in jeopardy.
Absolutely. Now, as crazy as it is, this is how you know it's not on our side of the team. Because we ain't downplaying nobody talking about they going to buy guns.
Mm-mm.
But even if you downplay that, how do you downplay the one that says I'm going to shoot up a school? How? I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I wouldn't say anything. I would not let anybody know that piece of information crossed my lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had said, I don't know, Shanti. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Exactly.
I wouldn't say nothing either. You're not having me in the World Guinness Book of Records as the dumbest person on earth. I wouldn't say nothing either. And first of all, like you said, had it been on this side of the fence, oh, Shanti, I'm going to go buy these guns. Well, hold up. Didn't you just borrow $5 from me yesterday? How you going to buy guns? So already that's going to start an argument. Okay? And I said this a little while ago to someone. I was like, don't tell me certain things because I'm not about that life. I'm snitching. I'm telling. I am not about that life. I am going to tell. After I call the cops, I'm calling your mama. Pastor Steph, you just have to stop me from getting ready to call somebody's mama. And they wasn't talking about no guns. But it was something else that I felt that they're doing right now that's reckless. And that's why I'm about to call Miss So-and-so. And he was like, Chauncey, don't even bother. But my thing, it doesn't matter to me that you're an adult. You're obviously not if I feel like the choices that you're making now is bad enough that I have to call your mama. Okay? And when Vivian said that, the first thing that came across my mind was me getting on my niece about her not saying anything in these schools about kids saying something around her or doing something. And she told me, she said, Auntie, there's this boy in the class, and he said something very racist, very, very racist and offensive. She said, and I told the teacher, because she had just gotten in trouble the week before, about another child saying and doing something that was unrelated. And me and you, Pastor Steph, got on her. And she came, she said, yeah, he said that, you know, such and such a people smell like such and such, or they do such and such. And I said, oh, so what did you say? She said, nothing. I just went and told the teacher. I said, okay, thank you. So now they see what they have on their hands, not only just in the classroom, but in the school. You have to make sure that you say something. How could you hear something like that? Before you even got to the, I'm about to take care of my grandmother, I'm about to go take care of the school, even just the gun part, how do you not, if you're working at Wendy's, you can't afford no guns. So that already doesn't raise a flag of some type of brain issues there. That's a little bit of money you making. You about to go spend on some guns. That alone shows you they ain't rat suicide. But I don't know how you could hear that and you could hear progress and you say nothing. Oh, I probably could have prevented it. You think?
You know, it's funny.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in because it's like, you know, we also talk about red flags and, you know, you starting to engage in conversation with someone as you're initially, you know, and they say something like that to you and, you know, why don't you respond? Especially considering the fact that you don't know this individual like that, you know, and you telling me, so if you're working at Wendy's, like you said, it takes you a while to get that money. You didn't get that money overnight.
Right.
It didn't take you a month. 9 times out of 10, it took you at least maybe 6 months. So you had this on your mind just thinking about it, and you spoke it to me, and I didn't respond at all. Here, if you've never seen a red flag before, here is the biggest red flag waving right in front of your eyes, and you didn't respond at all. You didn't think to do anything or say anything.
Absolutely. And you know, years ago, I said to the congregation, I said, be careful of what you tell people you will hold. Be careful of the things that you tell people you'll keep a secret. Be careful, because you are now an accomplice. You are now a person who could possibly be preventing something from happening, and you did nothing. There's a reason why God had this person tell it to you. You're now sitting telling the world that he told me he was going to shoot his grandmother. Really? You cannot tell me.
Okay.
You sleep at night, or you slept knowing that somebody told what person on outside of the fence heard that you were going to shoot Big Mama, and nobody told. Who lives like that? Who lives where they shrug their shoulders and figured, oh, well, they didn't mean it? Who does that? You know, so it's really a sad state of affairs when you've been thrown this entire piece of information where you could have prevented all of this from happening, and you said nothing. I'm talking about how do you sleep even from the beginning. I'm not talking about after. How do you take your shower, go to bed, wake up the next day knowing that somebody said this to you to begin with? We ain't talking about now when it's done. But I don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't even want to be around you if you have those thoughts towards your grandmother.
Why
am I?
Why?
I've had to say that to a few people. Oh, yeah, because I feel like smacking souls. Okay, so let me get away from you. Because, see, I don't want to be the person standing next to you. I'm serious. Because I'm telling you, I've said that. I'm like, all right, so we're going to end this conversation. Well, I'm going to leave because I don't want to be the one next to you. You ready to snap, but because that person ain't around, you just going to slap the closest person to you. I don't want to be that person. So I'm going to do both of us a favor, and I'm going to just eliminate myself from your space, because especially if you're not in God, y'all just think it's okay to have these thoughts. No, I don't want to be the one that catches how you really feel. No. No, thank you.
Yeah, this when Vivian was giving this information, you know, because when you go back to other storms, other mass shootings, you know, and you think about the fact that they were on social media, and somebody came across that post, somebody was listening live, you know, and I said nothing, and now, you know, there's always one other shooting you could reference because it's been happening back to back. So now this person says this to you. And not only that, kids, that's what I'm saying. This is just so not our community. Pastor Steph, you can't even say I'll slap you and not get some type of some type of pushback. You can't even threaten me and say I'll slap you. Oh, really? You are, so it's time to fight. Because before you can finish, I'll slap you. They slapping you. And now it's fine. You can't even make those type of idle threats, especially like you said, with kids. And is on either side. It's like, you going to do what? Yeah, no. That's just what it's like, I just can't fathom this. And here we are with how, and here's, okay, ladies, so here's the thing. Boy, talk about things have fallen through the cracks on this one. You got a teacher who left the door open, and you got him warning people. You got the grandfather and the grandmother at home who's living with this kid who know nothing, claim they know nothing. They didn't see no difference. You got mama who claims she ain't know nothing despite the fact that she had put him out. I don't, this was just a tragedy waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Tamika. You know what?
Yep.
A tragedy waiting to happen.
There were warning signs all the way around. You know, mama couldn't control him. So you're going to send him to grandma and grandpa. You know, grandpa already had, you know, a record, can't be around guns. And so maybe you might have sent him with grandma thinking, grandpa, under the guise that, you know, he might be scared straight. Apparently that didn't happen, you know. and all of the people who could have guarded or who could have prevented in some means, some way, even the young lady, you know, in speaking to him, you know, getting authorities involved. It to me, it feels like every single person, you know, in one way or another, except for the grandma who unfortunately got, you know, the cause of getting shot in the face, you know, she was the only one and the children that died. Because he wasn't prevented. You know, I'm sure this young lady might not have been the only person. It might have been someone, maybe an alliance, a friend that he told to as well. You know, how do we have these friends? How do we, you know, when you say something off to me, I'm pretty much written you off. And, I mean, I don't have those type of friends, but there has to be another step that takes place, not just me cutting you off. You know, because when you say something about, oh, yeah, I'm going to a gun show, you know, and I'm going to buy me a couple of guns, and I'm going to take care of my grandmother, and I'm going to go to the school, you know, because I'm sure he didn't say all of that in one sentence. And when you said the first thing, she let it go. You said the second thing, she let it go. I mean, how many things do we let go past and say, oh, it's okay, it's fine. Oh, he didn't mean it. Oh, he's just talking. Yeah, and it's somebody that you don't know that well. So when you say something like that to me and I don't know you that well, that's all the more for the antennas to get even higher. Let me look into the just on the off chance that you might not be joking to safeguard those whose lives might be in jeopardy.
Absolutely. And my question is, at what point do you say, okay, you just ain't joking? You know, you got
right.
With, you know, asking Lady Tamika, you know, there were signs all the way around that really could have prevented this shooting, really. From mama who put you out all the way till the end, you know, I don't know. What comes through your mind?
Oh.
Just like Lady Tamika said, you know, it's just way too much of just being so passive and nonchalant, and you know, like you said, you know, there's a reason why God allowed you to say this to so and so. You know, I shared a few weeks ago how I was planning on doing something to someone, and for whatever reason, and this was before my drinking days, I shared it with my mother, and it wasn't until afterwards I was like, why would you tell her that? But it was what you said that really helped to snap me out of it, and I called it off.
But you really have to understand that when people say stuff to you, it may not, you know, be necessarily be your job to talk them out of it, but it is your job to say something. So, okay, fine. You don't know him that well. You ain't got to know the cops to call 911. You ain't got to know the cops to walk into the police station. You ain't got to know the cops to tell your boss. You know, if you work with him at Wendy's and he said this to you at Wendy's, then you need to immediately, because listen, again, I just don't want to be the one that's around you when you step. So you're planning to shoot up the school, but now you mad because you couldn't get to the school on time, and now you shoot up Wendy's. I don't want to be here when you choose to shoot up whatever. So you didn't even care about your own life. You weren't even thinking about your own life. Like, why do you feel comfortable telling me that you want to do whatever to your grandmother? I don't know her. Or you want to do something to a school and we don't know each other that well. Why do you feel, it's just like, it's just too much overlooked. You know, because I know what it is to have complete strangers walk up to me and start telling me their whole life story. And I'm like, okay. You know, but they telling me stuff that, you know, has happened in the past. And somebody woke up to me talking about, and it was so funny because there was a comedian years ago that I watched. And he said it was after 9/11. But he said when he would get on a plane, anyone who he felt looked suspicious, anybody, I don't think he said which race, it didn't matter to him. He said anybody who he felt looked suspicious, he would go up and start a conversation with them because he wanted to make sure they had plans for the next day. Because if they didn't have plans for the next day, then to him, their plan was to blow up the plane. So he was like, if you talk about, if I say, oh, hey, you know, what you do tomorrow, and I say nothing because I plan to see so-and-so, I plan to see Allah stuff. He's like, all right, I ain't taking this flight. But it's just like, you know, to him, his mindset was, I have to get in the psyche of whoever's fitting to be on this plane with me. And, you know, it was a joke, but now fast forward to today's time, you have to start doing that. Whether you do it directly or indirectly, if you chiming into some, if you eavesdropping on someone else's conversation or something, you hear you getting on a plane or you around anyone who's angry, it's like you don't even want to be around anyone who's angry now because you don't know where their anger could take them. You know, and you just don't want to be around. So it's just really, like you said, Pastor, a whole lot of dropping the ball.
You know, when you say that, when you talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, so-and-so says something to you, and at what point do you speak up? It makes me think about the young lady who was murdered in, what was that, Burger King in Harlem?
Mm-hmm.
And they found it was a past employee. And my thing is, that's why you have to be alert. Because just like you said, Shanti, no, you ain't got to be planning for here.
Mm-hmm.
But you telling me you saving up for guns. And I just happen mm-hmm. to work with you? Oh, absolutely not. We ain't having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying nothing. So you might be telling me that, but your real plans are to come back and get somebody. Or if somebody made you mad, or if the boss made you mad at the store, now you coming back to the store to take out your vengeance, you know, on the boss or some coworker or whatever. The fact that I know you're planning on buying a gun, and I'm going to tell you, it's always accompanied by some other behavior or some other conversation. It's not just, oh, I just happen to go buy a gun. Me and you ain't tight like that where you going to share this with me. You know, so now you're telling me this, oh, it's time for me to say something. And I'm quitting until they do something about you.
No, and Pastor Steph, I'm sorry, but it was a situation very similar to that when I was working at Cheesecake. There was a server, and they had to continue to reprimand him because he would literally cuss. Now, I know I used to go off at Cheesecake. I used to go off on the managers when they tried to get over on me. This guy would curse out the guests, his guests. So we would always at first ask him, like, how do you expect for these people to tip you?
Wow.
Cussing them out. You know, whether he's so justified or not, it's like, all right, you bugged out now. You can't be cursing at the guests. And management would always have to go. But they never, there was never any real reprimand. I don't have to tell you why. And we would just sit there marveling, yeah, because had that been one of us, would have cussed us out in front of the guests and fired us in front of the guests just to let the guests know that the next time they come in here, they wouldn't have to worry about seeing us. But they would not reprimand him, and or they would just be like, so-and-so, you can't do this, you can't do that. But he wouldn't get suspended. And after a while, I remember going to one of the men's, and I said, okay, check this out, right? When he come in here with that trench coat, don't be surprised. Because, no, and I really had to tell a few of them that. I told a few of them that separately on different days. I said, because you see how, like, his anger was just, like, ridiculous. Like, one second he could be fine, and if he felt a guest did something, he would just start going off and cursing them out. And I'm like, you see how he's doing this to the guest who is paying him? Like, y'all don't pay us. The guests pay us. If he don't care about cussing them out, who are you and who are we? So when he come in here with that shirt, don't act startled. Y'all are not firing him the way you need to. And we gonna have to be on alert, meaning the other employees. Like, forget y'all, because y'all acting like y'all ain't paying attention to this. We see what's happening. If it's this much rage in the middle of the restaurant with guests, nothing y'all do is going to be able to tame him if or when he really gets to that point. So that just really backs up what you're saying. It's just way too much negligence. And my thing was, how you work at Wendy's, so you was an upstanding employee, you was employee of the month at Wendy's, you went to every shift on time and everything just to save up this money to buy these guns. You have to have been negligent on the job to raise awareness even to management, most likely, to show that you were unstable.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This stuff is always not, this is not isolated. This stuff is always accompanied by something else. Always. It's just unrealistic to believe that it's not accompanied by some other type of questionable behavior or questionable conversation. Well, you see, it didn't stay isolated. Even in the broader sense, where he talked about he was going to do something to his grandmother, and he talked about he was going to go find a school to shoot up. Again, listen, an unstable man is unstable in all his ways. You're not just going to act all silly or act afraid or act, you know, crazy. No, this stuff is across your life. But before, you know, we go.
Well, we're looking at it. You know, the argument that transpired with the grandmother was because he didn't accomplish his grades. And, you know, now I'm starting to piece it together. You're not doing good in school, so the best way to resolve that is to shoot grandma in the face and then go to the first school that you see, because a school is responsible, according to you, for you not getting your grades. But you're the one that had to do that. And so we're already seeing that he was already loose across the board.
Absolutely.
And he failed elementary school.
Yeah, but if you think about what he told, what the classmate said.
Mm-hmm.
The classmate said he really wasn't coming to school. And then when he was coming to school, he acted weird. I see all of this stuff. All of this stuff put together makes for an unstable person, and nobody is paying attention to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we of all times, you know, this is a conversation to be had. You know, it says what, you know, she is wise in the time of crisis. And we're talking about this stuff here. You know, what, or showing wisdom, rather, in time of crisis, I should say. And one of the things that they're saying here is that she was bold. And that's one of the things we're talking about, Lady Tamika. She's bold during the time of crisis. How do you exemplify that boldness?
You've got to respond. You know, this day and age, you have a responsibility. I'm going to say it. It is your assignment to be on point, to stand your guard, to speak when necessary. You know, there are situations that we see all day long, and you can't be silent. We're in a day and age now where, you know, just letting it pass is not going to work. You've got to speak up before it happens. Don't wait until
something happens and then stand by and say, oh, well, you know, I knew or I thought or I was the one. You've got to stand up, you've got to speak, and you have to act.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shatis, you know, it says, you know, she's bold during the time of crisis.
Yes, there's no time to think about how you're feeling. It's time to act on how God needs you to act. So whatever it is he needs you to say, whatever it is he needs you to do, whatever it is he needs you to make sure you don't say and do, you have to make sure that you're on point. You have to make sure that you're clear-headed, because when you're not, you don't know, or you do know how to act, but that ain't what's really coming to mind. So in order to be bold properly, you have to be standing on God's morals and standards, because there's a whole lot of boldness I'm seeing right now, but it ain't got me. And you have to make sure that you understand who and what you're supposed to be representing and sticking to that. And I found personally that even in the midst of me being annoyed or very upset or there being a crisis around, you know, something serious, or there's just a whole lot of chaos, when you just immediately start, okay, God, I know you don't want me to do it. Even when you go back to what you know God does not want you to do, that automatically helps to set you up to show that boldness.
Absolutely, absolutely, ladies. They say, she thinks quickly and moved on her. We just get finished talking about this or what? Oh, Lady Tamika, she moved quickly. Let me get this together. She moved quickly. She thought quickly and moved on her decision.
Okay, I didn't hear the last word.
She moved. She thought quickly and moved on her decision.
Okay, she moves on her decision. It is important that you do, and you've got to be prayerful with that, because a lot of times we as women can, you know, jump off, you know, and this is not the time to jump off, but this is the time to actively seek God, you know, and you can do that within a second. God, please, I need your help, you know, God, you know, precede me in my actions and my deeds, you know, make sure that I'm right. You know, and you've got to do that quickly. Now, you don't have the time to sit there and you know, mull it over. You know, you've got to react, because, you know, anything can happen. While you're sitting there trying to look over stuff, you know, a situation didn't happen, and you could have acted quickly. So we're in a day and time where you got to get moving, and do it quickly. Do it now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shatis, you know, we've just talked about this. And, you know, this conversation should have happened last week. But, you know, so she thought quickly and moved on her decision.
Yes, being able to quickly assess what's being said to you, what's going on around you, and immediately, you know, if it's not something that you've already directly spoken to God about or prayed about, you know, immediately going to God and asking, is, you know, how do you want me to address this? And it's crazy, because with the last statement you had us analyze, Pastor said, it brought me back to something that I felt I should have said months ago to two people. And it's just like, okay, now I'm going to have to say something. And it was never the fact of me caring how the person would feel, because I just don't care that much. But I think it was more on the fact of, okay, God has me praying for this person, so I'm hoping that through the prayers and through what I'm saying to this person directly, God will work it out. They will allow God to work it out internally. But it just ain't seem to be happening. So now I'm going to have to put the other two people on alert, because now, you know, you end up in a situation like the young lady and, the, you know, and whomever else knew and did not say anything. So you have to be able to quickly, you know, sometimes, like, as things are being said to you, as things are happening around you, during that time, being able to really, okay, no, that's not right. Okay, does so-and-so know about this?
And if it involves other people, and especially if you know the other people, you know, how would this affect them? Yeah, I don't think they would agree with that. So you have to really be able to be on point with that. And again, you can't insert your feelings, because when you do, it helps to throw off what you should or shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as you were talking, I'm looking at something here, and I thought about an occurrence. And, you know, the occurrence was, this was during the bed bug infestation, and where, you know, this was just something that, you know, they were silent. You know, you didn't know what was going on. You didn't know you had an infestation. You didn't know that they were on you, around you, in your bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember Tamasia saw bugs crawling on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And she told Shantice, because she didn't feel comfortable telling another person, you know, the other person that was closer to the person that where the bugs were on, that the bugs were on. So she told Shantice. Shantice knew what to do and who to tell. And she told that individual. And that individual addressed the person who had the bugs or the bug crawling on them. And we were able to act on, you know, that problem. You know, so tell.
Mm-hmm.
Showing wisdom during a crisis. You tell. Even if you don't know, you know, what to do, you know, or who to really tell, you know, the quote-unquote right person, there's always that person you can tell, Tamika Lee. Tamika, tell. You have to drive that home today.
Ooh, it's so important, you know, and just, you know, taking it away from the topic that we're on and going to that topic, you know, of a bed bug situation, you know. You can't see, you know, what's happening from the initial, but you have got to open up your mouth. Just looking at that, you know, I'm around that person, you know, let's just say for some reason we hug, you know, and now the bug has transferred from that individual to my individual. It's hiding, it's dormant for a period of time. I get home and now all of a sudden I've got bed bugs and I don't know where they came from. You know, now it's leaking. It's, you know, it's going from person to person. You know, this thing spreads and you don't know how it can, but it affects your life. Now this young lady is now looking at the residuals of not saying something. Now other lives are affected because you didn't open up your mouth. It's just that important. If you don't know who to tell, say something. You can't just go on with your everyday life as though it wasn't said, it wasn't done, you didn't hear it. You can't unhear that thing. So you've got to tell somebody. You can't keep silent because other people are involved in this thing. This is not a one deal thing. And then my thing is, even if it's not another person involved, how do you know that it won't be you next time? So you've got to
right.
say something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, Shantice, tell.
I was just about to touch on that. A lot of times people feel like, well, it ain't got nothing to do with me, so I don't have to say anything. It ain't my business. I don't know. It is your business. Like, it has been said already. Once you hear that, you now have a responsibility. And I've seen even a lot in the church world fall short with this because it's just like, oh, I didn't know what to say, or I don't like conflict, so I didn't, or I just didn't want to get involved. And it's like, oh, you could tell you were just whack. Again, point just don't know to what degree. So you claim, oh, he said he gonna buy guns. Well, he didn't say he was gonna shoot me. He say, but look at how now this just took a toll on not just himself, not just his grandmother, not just those kids, but every kid that is, everyone who is attached to each kid
You know, these a lot of these kids don't just have a mom and dad to where they have mom and dad. They have aunties and uncles who are a huge part of their lives. They have other family and friends. All of their lives that had not all because you did not do what you were responsible for doing. To get all this stuff about snitching and all that, you have to make sure that you are doing your part. And a lot of times, all you can do is tell. There's nothing else that you're fit or equipped to do but to just say something. And you don't know, you go tell so-and-so, that just might be the right one. That so-and-so won't probably have to go tell another so-and-so. That just might be the person to get the job done. So I believe the mentality has to change with, you know, not wanting to get involved and blah, 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 blah. You just, that's your responsibility to tell. Call me whatever you want. I'm telling.
All righty. And the last point that I want to definitely bring up is he knew how to diffuse the situation. Mm-hmm. Wow. Ready to be done. Man, you know, this day and age that we live in, people can snap and go off the handle for anything. You say, excuse me, and the person didn't hear you, and they're flying off the handle. You know, at that point, you can diffuse that. You don't have to take every single argument on. You know how often mm-hmm. we come past people on a daily basis and you don't know what it is that they're going through and they fly off the handle. You know, we've seen situations where there was an argument over a parking space and the gentleman went in the home and, you know, got a gun. You know, it had to do with snow. He got a gun and shot the woman and, you know, didn't have enough bullets, went back in the house and shot the man and killed them. You know, this is a day and age where people are not arguing, they're not fighting, they're ending lives. And so you have got to have enough wisdom in you, enough discernment to say, okay, you know what, this is getting out of hand. Let me just, you know, take a step back. Let's pull it back. You know, I'm reining in. Know what to say, know how to say it, know how to approach people, because at this day and time, people can end your life just out of, you know, a misunderstanding. And there's no, oh, I'm sorry, afterwards, because the life is now gone. Absolutely, absolutely. Shanti, she knew how to diffuse a situation.
Well, I've had to learn. I forgot how the verse goes with dating, but it's a gentle word changes something. Pretty much when you're gentle, it helps to change the whole tone of the situation, of the conversation. You know, it could have started out hostile with the other person, and now your anger, even if you're being justified, so you have to learn this, even if you're being justified, you now trying to match their anger, even if that's not your goal, but you're just trying to match their anger, will now just help to heighten the situation and there's no defeating. So understand, again, you have to be in your reaction and your actions teach others how to act and react. And I just told you, Pastor Steph, how last week I was caught off guard because someone called me upset about something else, but they called me, I guess, because they wanted my advice, and they got mad, and they just blew up at me, and without even thinking, I was like, relax, chill out, just talk, I'm listening. And it wasn't until like a half hour later, I was like, wait, did they just cuss at me? I was like, but you know what? I ain't mad. Because with my reaction being gentle, it helped now for me to get my point across as to what they needed to do. Now, had I allowed my anger to match theirs, it would have just been a screaming match. We would have hung up on each other, and it wouldn't have been nothing that happened productively. They wouldn't have gotten the advice that God told me to give them, and they still would have been doing whatever they were doing. And now I'm in trouble. So just understanding that, again, when you stand on the morals of Jesus with the gentleness, even when he needs you to correct others, it's done in humility. That's the way it needs to go so that others can see, okay, this is how I need to act and react. So you have to make sure you understand how to diffuse the situation.
All righty, ladies. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. I want to end with pray, pray, pray. You know, you both have touched on it, but I really want to take this moment to drive this point home. And, you know, what are we saying to our listeners, Lady Tamika, about praying during a time of crisis?
Prayer is essential for everything. You know, any moment that you're going through, it helps you keep yourself on track. It also helps you not to flare up in moments of despair. You may be going through something and, you know, because we are emotional as women, you know, we can go on a road trip, you know, and we got our own bags, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff that comes with that. And we don't necessarily need that. God, please direct me. God, help me to be able to be on top and on point in the midst of everything that's going on. Keep me in the eye of the storm, which there is safety and tranquility. Even in the midst of all types of chaos, God can keep and sustain you. He also can see all of the components that play a role in what's going on and can gird you and keep you strong in the midst of it all. He also knows how to send the right people during that time to speak to you, to encourage you. And they may not necessarily even have a clue as to what it is that you're going through. And you'll know that it's designated by God because they'll say the right thing. Wait, what did you say? You know, and not knowing anything that's going on in your life, they can speak to the heart of that because that's the God that we know and that's the God that can do all things. And he's always there, always listening and always capable to help you through it all.
Amen. Thank you, Lady Tamika. Aunties, we're closing with pray, pray, pray.
Yes, run to God with what's going on. Not that he doesn't already know, but he invites us to run and just throw everything at him respectfully. Leave everything at his feet. In the middle of the chaos, you could be going bonkers. You know, but again, you can't diffuse anything. You can't be clear-headed. You are not going to remember what needs to be done or said if your mind is all over the place. So while everything is going on, running to him, praying to him, talking to him, asking him to calm you down so that you can hear him clearly, see him clearly, feel him clearly, so that you now know how to move. And, you know, that's just what really separates us from the believers and the non-believers. Not that we don't go through it, not that we don't want to do some things, not that we don't think some things, but being able to run to him in prayer helps now to just put us back on track. It helps now to put us back in our right frame of mind and helps now for us to think on the things that need to be done and not think on the things that we want to do. So if we don't run to him in prayer, then there's no difference between us and those who reject him. So we really have to make sure that we're saying, okay, I'm willing to come to you and talk to you and just pray to you, God, so that I can ask you to just release your hand so that you can take complete control of the situation and give me the words to say. Or, again, a lot of times God just needs you to make sure you don't say or do something. Sometimes he doesn't even need you to do. It's just I just need you to make sure you don't do so that what he needs to do gets done.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for your input into this conversation, and I pray that you have a blessed day today.
Thank you, too.
Amen. Enjoy, ladies.
Thank you.
All righty. You know, it's still Wednesday, and we can never close out properly on a Wednesday. If we don't get that faith over fear topic, segment, word in. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today, my love?
I am well, thank you. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. You know, we're talking about this, you know, wisdom that you show during the time of crisis. And unfortunately, that was not exemplified in this case. You know, there's this fear that steps in and creeps in. And we need to hear, you know, how we need to have this faith over fear during a time of crisis. Well, what do you want to give us today?
Absolutely. We become fearful. And a lot of times in these situations, the one that you're talking about with this young man and the grandmother, she's probably was scared of him as well. You know, sometimes these kids, you know, nowadays, they take control over the household. But I was thinking when everybody was speaking that your silence can hurt so many people. The silence, because when you don't say anything, that where it gives room for the enemy to continue. I always felt that when people tell someone something, either you crying out or you trying to see how they will respond. So now you get yourself in a situation of seeing these red flags, and now you play back. Now you have played a part in it. So when they are trying to tell you something, believe what people say. Know that what they are telling you, that it can go forth. So by you being so fearful, now you're going to wish that you told somebody. So you got to be able to know when to speak, who to speak to, and how to take that situation and put a pin in it where that it don't go no further. So my thought was of having that boldness and being able to call on the Lord. We know everybody say God one time or another. So during that period of time, you need to say God. You know, everybody don't call on Jesus, but everybody call on God. So whoever that you know that you able to help this young man or anybody, you should be able to call on the authorities that needs to be called on. And don't be fearful of the lashback that they will give you. You have to be able to stand for something, you know, because at this day and time, these kids from little, look how we talked about the 10-year-old little boy. We talk about how these little kids with their mouths, and they don't fear nothing. So if we don't stand and know that God is on our side and know that God will make a way, know that God will open up a door, know that God will put that wall between and give you that strength, if you don't believe and trust in the Lord like never before, what are you saying for your own self? You are causing your own self-destruction. You are causing your own self of not being able to do the right thing. Just knowing to do the right thing. My heart goes out to, you know, the young lady that you were saying, the teacher that held the door open, and only because of the fact that we're so busy trying to do quick things. You know, and I was thinking about so many things that we do. If everybody just examine yourself on the things that we do that's quick, that we go back and say, you know what, that wouldn't have happened. You know what, if I would have just been able to close the window, this wouldn't have happened. You know, so we have to get to the place of just trusting God, hearing his voice, asking him for guidance. Even in the mix of going through this situation, we know that we have to pray before the situation comes. If we continue to pray and ask God for guidance and asking God what should we do, how we should, before the situation come upon, you already knew that that little boy had issues. We already can see, you see the signs as they're growing up. Even if you're not totally sure, still be able to know. Let me pray and see what's going on. Don't wait for the situation to grow. And now you want to be able. Sometimes it'd be just too late. But we got to be able to continue to keep praying. Trust God. Trust that instinct that you have on the inside. That Holy Spirit is real. It speaks to us. We have to be able to line it up and know that that spiritual discernment that he is showing you, it is real. So be able to know to lean on the Lord and know that God is real and know that he does not make no mistakes when he is directing us. But just know that it's him and it is not you. Take your feelings out of who it is. Stop worrying about that title. Oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's this. That's that.
No, do the right thing, because we got to trust and believe. This Bible tells us to speak the truth. So therefore, speak the truth and be able to know and continue to pray for each other and know that God is real.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, thank you so much, Pastor Sharlin, for that word to close us down today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we got our benediction today, 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Amen. You know, as the ladies were talking, there were some things that went through my head. And one of the things that went through my head was a conversation that came up the other day. And there was a young lady who said to me, you know, I want to get closer to God. Well, we're talking about baptism, and, you know, she's contemplating, you know, stepping up to get baptized. And she says, you know, I want to get closer to God. And I said to her, I said, let me help you understand something. And hopefully you will all see how the pieces fit together. I said, you want to get closer to God. There's only one way that this happens. I said, you cannot stay in a sinful mode. You can't be a sinner. That can't be your lifestyle. And you get closer to God. There's just no ability to do that on our own. You know, we have this thought that it's us. We woke up one day and we just decided to want God. We decided we wanted a better life, and we went to know. The Bible tells us that it's God who wants us first, and we're responding to God. We're answering. And we have to understand that that's the way it works. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We ain't gonna want God. We don't want good. But it's God who calls us, who now changes the trajectory of our behavior when we decide to answer him. I said that one of the things that, or the primary thing that helps us get closer to God is the Spirit of the Lord. When you get baptized and that Spirit of the Lord is given to you, that changes your whole life. Because when you submit and surrender to the Spirit of the Lord, you're not acting on your own anymore. This ain't got nothing to do with your spirit, ain't got nothing to do with your heart, ain't got nothing to do with your mind, ain't got nothing to do with what you want to do, your flesh. Nope. I said, when you allow the Spirit to dictate what happens to you, when you allow the Spirit to dictate what you do, when you allow the Spirit to dictate how you think, when you, you know, allow the Spirit to dictate, you know, how you feel and the moves you make and, you know, how you flow through life, that's when you get closer to God. We can't do that by ourselves. There's just no way that gets done. We don't have that power or capability. And that's what I was thinking about the entire time the ladies were talking this morning. You know, we're talking about, you know, the difference between people who know to pray, people who know to go to God, people who live their life in the Lord, and that makes the difference. That makes it, we don't get it right all the time, and that would be a lie to tell you that. Because nobody lives a perfect life. However, we're talking about how we move and how the decisions are made and what we decide to do with what we decide not to do and who we listen to and what we listen to. And, yo, that there ain't no way in the world that when we decide to give our lives to Christ that we won't act and show wisdom during the time of a crisis. Because there's no room for anything else. Remember now, you've submitted and you've surrendered to the Spirit of the Lord. So, again, you're not doing your own movement. You're not doing your own thinking. This is all you're being led by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord is dictating what you do and how you act and the way you think, then you don't have time or room to make these type of ill decisions or stand still and do nothing. You know, we talk about praying and we talk about speaking up and having that boldness. And, you know, we talk about being able to diffuse a situation. And we're talking about, you know, just being wise. You don't have that capability until you give your life to the Lord. And this is why my closing every day, you know, it's not because we're talking about death alone. You know, the lady is not promised to you. You know, it's not only about death. It's about the fact that you will make better decisions, that your life would go a whole lot differently if you were to decide to give your life to the Lord. It makes a difference. When I think about my life in the Lord now, and I think about my life in the Lord before I gave my life to him and was real serious about this thing, I say, brother, how did you ever manage? Because your decision-making is definitely not the same. Your behavior is definitely not the same. Your mode of thinking, the way you act, the things you say, the way you feel is not the same when you don't choose the Lord. You know, like Shanti said a little while ago, you know when God is dealing with you. You know when the Lord is dictating what you do. You know when the Lord is pulling those reins back to, you know, keep you from doing certain things, or will direct you to do something when you would normally do something else, when you would normally say something else, when you would normally feel something else. You're like, ooh, I know the Lord is dealing with me now. And a lot of times, we don't think about that. We don't think about how the Lord has, you know, how the Lord will change our lives. Even those of us who have already given our lives to the Lord, but if we were to become deeper in a deeper relationship with the Lord, how that changes, how that changes your life, and how that changes the outcome of the things that you do and the things you don't do. So that's why I encourage you each and every day to give God your life so that he can make the difference in every aspect of your life. Hold on to that one today. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew. Oh, the ladies did a fine job today, as always. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity to give life, give God your life, because later is not promised to us. Your decision-making will definitely be different. Until tomorrow, where is Therapeutic Thursday? God spare our life. I love you.